Hello and welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Rand DeWitt, and Earth has a day dedicated to him. It's Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association, or as the Native Americans refer to him, Bear with Lead Foot.
Earth Day.
Yeah, because right before the show, Tom was able to have a fine interaction with Native American law enforcement on tribal land, and apparently Tom was guilty of going, 13 miles over the speed limit?
Yes, I was guilty of that. I'm traveling today. I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and so it was a long drive. And you know how you're driving along, you know, for a couple hours, and you just seem to get bored, and your foot kind of just sinks into the throttle a little bit.
When you've got just nothing but wilderness around you, beautiful views, and a hidden law enforcement vehicle.
I'll tell you what, though, my CDL paid off.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
This nice police officer says, I see that you have a Class A CDL, so what I'm going to do for you.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Let me tell you what I got for you today. Yes, that did cost me $90.
That's actually not bad.
Unfortunately.
That's not bad. You know what? And, you know, think about it. You're giving back to the tribal community while we're doing our Earth Day episode, because we've got Earth Day coming up on April 22nd, which is Monday. And what are the initials for Earth Day, Tom?
What are the initials for Earth Day?
Yeah.
You know, Earth Day is also my brother's birthday.
What? Is it Big Baller?
It's Big Baller Gas Hauler's birthday, too.
Well, happy birthday. And you know what? We'll celebrate in Reno next month, because we're going to do that, because we have an event coming up there. The 74th Annual Western Propane Trade Show and Convention, May 13th to 17th at the Silver Legacy Hotel in Reno Event Center. We've got so much history there.
We're going to do some live broadcasting there. Yep. In Reno. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, not to discredit Earth Day. Earth Day is pretty important to everybody. I drove like 500 miles to get down here. And, you know, just driving through.
Would you walk 500 more?
I would walk. Yeah, I'd walk five. Just for you, Rand, I'd walk 500 miles.
Yes. So you're doing all kinds of traveling right now. I mean, you're out there, you're a man of the people and promoting the world of propane. But we need to like do some office work here for a second as we celebrate the Earth Day edition of the State of Energy. We have a new sponsor, that's come back. One Tank. One-tank.com. Satellite tank monitoring that is affordable, simple, reliable. It's here. You can harness the power of One Tank. They've got the website's been updated. Have you checked that out?
I have. It kind of sounds
very cool.
Sounds
like, very space tech.
Sounds like the propane commercial.
Yeah, it does.
Affordable, abundant, American.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are getting their cues from the State of Energy. And One Tank is a tank monitoring technology leader that helps propane marketers across the U.S. streamline operations, improve margins, and better serve customers. The One Tank Pulse is affordable because they have satellite connectivity at cellular prices. It's simple. We know how simple the One Tank is because it's hassle-free setup and installation. It's reliable because it's designed and manufactured for long-term durability, supported by friendly, knowledgeable USA-based customer support, and connected because 99% of coverage in North America is no joke. We got 99% coverage of North America. No external connections required for One Tank. And you can actually get One Tank satellite monitors for as low as $145 each and $1.50 a month. And they have financing options available.
And I ran into Brian at the Southeast Propane Expo in Charlotte a couple weeks ago, and talked to him. I got to see his new tank level monitor. It's pretty cool. Those guys are doing really cool things over there, above and beyond their signature tertiary storage monitors, but this thing is this is pretty cool. So if you're looking for a tank monitor for your propane company or your propane tank, reach out to One Tank and they'll get you hooked up.
You'll be very amazed. Just check them out, one-tank.com. That's one-tank.com, onetank.com. And you got some. You're traveling now. You're in New Mexico now, one of the states you're taking over, like Napoleon early in his career. We got Propane Days 2024 coming up in D.C. in June.
Yeah, I was up at the Idaho FFA convention a couple weeks ago in Twin Falls, Idaho. That was pretty cool. I got to hang out with a bunch of future farmers of America, and these kids are. Really respectful young adults, and they're really smart too. I was really impressed with the group from the FFA at their state convention. Propane was
so not a lot of them are on TikTok, is what you're
saying.
Man,
you start to wonder, you know, what the youth of America is going to do for us, and who the leaders are going to be. And I'm telling you, these kids are leaders, and they're going to be great leaders as they grow up. It was interesting, though, you know, there's the Future Farmers of America. You know, they kind of rebranded their names to just the FFA, but they're all about sustainability, and Earth Day kind of fits right in with it. So we talked a lot about some renewable propane and growing propane with the camelina plant. And we've talked about the camelina plant on our show before, but a plant-based propane, and we start to talk about this to these young farmers, and their eyes light up, and they want to learn more about it. They want to learn more about clean energy and how they can be part of this, you know, changing the world and reducing our carbon footprint. And they're not stupid. They're very smart kids, and they understand where their energy comes from today. Even one group that I talked to, they knew all about hydro dams and how harmful to the environment around the dam that the hydropower has. So very, very intuitive, knowledgeable kids that are into clean energy, and now they're into propane.
So now you're saying there's hope for the future of America.
There's definitely some hope, and if you want to learn more about plant-based propane, there's look up camelina, Global Clean Energy. We've talked about them before. They're growing this camelina plant. They're taking these high oil content seeds, and they're producing a fuel that's not fighting or competing with our food supply, because this plant is grown on a fallow land in between different grow cycles. So typically you have 2 years of growing something, and then 1 year your land stays fallow so they can get the nutrients back in the ground. It's a drought tolerant plant, and it's easy to grow.
So you would have to say that the Earth is very happy with her creation of camelina.
Yeah, I mean, it fits right in with Earth Day, because we have to have energy, right? And we need propane, and we need diesel fuel, and we need all sorts of products, and we can grow it now and not have to compete with the corn and the ethanol grown fuels. So yeah, Earth Day is going to be Earth is going to be very happy on Earth Day with the camelina plant.
And you know, it's something else that we just want to stress when it comes to Earth Day, is that, you know, we're not, as Tom was saying, we're not anti-electric, we're not anti-hydro, we're not anti-solar or wind. We're just anti having it impede in areas where it shouldn't be, or trying to push it. It's a whole thing. We've been saying this for years. Follow the money. It doesn't make sense that we're trying so hard to cram these windmills in that always freeze up in the winter, and you got to bring propane, or the solar panels that just stretch for miles. You know, Mother Nature has given us this great camelina plant that can actually check a lot of those boxes and do it in a cleaner way.
And it's, we got to, on Earth Day, we got to think about the green washing too, because we talk about renewable propane and it does kind of feel like, are we just greenwashing propane with this plant that we can grow and get the oil out of and make some propane? Yeah, it's hard to do. It's not an easy process, but we've got to get more of it. We've got to get more of it out there. We got to grow more of it. We got to produce more so we can offset some of our fossil fuel propane that we get. But even our traditional propane that comes from the earth is cleaner than a lot of the other energy that we use, like coal, to make electricity.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an Earth Day, did you know? Did you know that propane produces 52% fewer greenhouse gas emissions than grid-generated electricity based on national averages? Did you know that?
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. And renewable propane or plant-based propane is way cleaner than that. So we have to be careful when we talk about, or when we celebrate Earth Day, we got to be careful about not being greenwashed. And it's kind of funny, if you go to the earthday.org, you know, there's a lot of stuff about greenwashing in there. And one of my favorite ones is from the 70s. From the 70s, you remember this guy, this Indian guy in the canoe, or the
Native American,
Indian, but we call it Native American. He's in the canoe and he's crying because of all the plastic and the garbage around him.
And the voiceover says, "People started pollution. People can stop it." That was how the guy said. That was actually pretty good. We can use that.
That was good. That was a commercial from the 70s. I remember that as a kid.
I do too. He's standing in traffic, cars going by, somebody's throwing like a Happy Meal at him, and then he's in his canoe and just all the, it looks like Laughlin after a floating festival.
It's sad, and it was like the greatest greenwashing commercial ever. Do you know why?
People don't realize this. This is a very important point. This iconic 70s commercial that was supposed to be for Mother Earth, to protect the land, that they were using a Native American actor to help push the message, was actually greenwashing for
Pepsi and Coca-Cola.
Why is that, Tom?
Because they ran the group that was called Keep America Beautiful, and that's who made the commercial, and it was all paid for by companies that make single use cans, bottles, plastics. They're the ones that are causing all the pollution, and so this commercial was paid for by those types of companies. And they're the beginning of greenwashing. So we have to be careful when we see some of these things and we support things, and knowing where it really comes from.
Well, yeah, and actually, you know, now we're talking about this with Pepsi and Coke cans, and they were actually the power behind that very powerful commercial. But on earthday.org, when it comes to recycling, what are the numbers?
Oh my gosh. So this brings us to a whole nother topic, but the whole entire recycling, according to earthday.org, they call recycling is a crying shame. And that's where the whole, the crying Indian comes into play, is the recycling, only about 5% of all the recycling that we do actually gets recycled.
And we were hit over the head so hard and shamed so hard. Kind of sounds familiar. Back in the day about recycling, we were being just shamed into recycling. And yes, if you don't believe us, go to earthday.org. Recycling, 5% gets recycled. Think about that. And we were hit over the head so hard about needing to recycle. And there's something else going on today that kind of reminds me of this.
Tell me.
It comes to EVs. It comes to windmills.
Are you trying to say that the 5% recycling that we do? So they're talking about 5% of everything that we recycle gets actually recycled,
right?
And you're talking about the hundreds of thousands of millions of pieces that we go and actually put into the recycling bin. Where does the rest of that stuff end up?
landfills.
In the landfills. It doesn't actually get recycled. So the money and the expense that we put into the efforts of recycling, it's peaked out at 5% of what we throw into it actually gets done. And you're saying that wind and solar is comparable to this?
Well, I'm saying yes, that's where we're headed. In a certain way. Yeah. Okay. You know, I understand my house is going to get burned down and there's going to be black helicopters over my house and I'm probably going to get audited for saying this. But yeah, this feels the same as we were getting beat over the head about recycling. And that's only 5% that was getting actually recycled in what we're doing now today. And people are over it. I mean, people, backlash against wind and solar project is real. It's global and it's growing because there's been at least 639 rejections or restrictions on U.S. wind or solar projects since 2015. And landowners and homeowners want to preserve the integrity of their neighborhoods. I mean, these landscapes with views being destroyed by endless rows of solar panels and walls of 600-foot wind turbines, it's ridiculous, not to mention what it does to the property values. The U.S. Treasury alone says this year alone, the U.S. Treasury says the production tax credit used primarily for wind energy and the investment tax credit primarily for solar will cost taxpayers $35 billion this year alone.
Wow.
And think about what's going to happen is that people are starting to wake up to this and we're going to have turbines. We're going to have, I mean, not the windmills are important. Solar is important. Electric vehicles is important. But just the level that we've just shoveled onto people at an economic strain is ridiculous.
It's kind of like recycling. You can only peak out. Only 5% of recycling is going to happen. And the same thing with wind and solar. We're going to hit a wall eventually where you've dumped in so much money and this is it. This is the max production we're going to get out of this. So we've got to be careful that we don't just put everything towards that and we still leave clean propane available to help offset some of these things that we cannot do with wind and solar, because that's the reality of it. We will hit a wall of the financial and social cost. So you can only do so much and produce the X amount of electricity from wind and solar, and then you end up with giant landfills full of blades, and then the cost to replace these things is too much because all the subsidies are gone. So we have to be careful with the social and economic justice of everything that we do. And propane is one of those products that just doesn't get a bunch of attention, and we don't have a whole bunch of government subsidies. In fact, almost none. There's just hardly any government money spent for a clean energy like propane. We're self-sustaining. We don't need that. We don't need a bunch of grant money or federal money.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like they follow the money, see where it's going. Where are all these solar contracts going? Where's all the EV money going? I mean, and measuring a fuel's carbon intensity helps to capture emissions across the full life cycle of an energy carrier. And now, this reveals the truth that conventional propane is often a cleaner residential energy choice than grid electricity. It's true. So correct me if I'm wrong. You can fact check me. All the pundits like saying that these days. compared to these quote-unquote clean energy monsters for your home, wind and solar, propane is much better for your bank account and happens to be cleaner as well. Now, if that's truly what's important, why aren't we all driving the bus down the propane lane?
That electric grid carbon intensity scores are really important for people to understand, because, for example, we've talked about this new hire that we're looking to do the traveling trainer, right? So we talked about this a couple times on the show, mm-hmm. where we've hired this employee to go around 5 states, big area. He's got a lot of driving to do, a lot of windshield time, and we want him to be in a clean vehicle. And could you imagine just trying to get from one point
to
another?
How's his driving record? Been pulled over for speeding much?
Forget the speeding ticket. Let's just talk about the time that I had to spend from the time I left my house this morning to get to where I'm going now, like there was not a whole lot of time for me to stop and recharge a vehicle. So the back to the trainer.
What vehicle you're driving? Let's lay it out for
back,
folks. What are you back driving?
Back to the trainer. We've purchased him a F-250, a Ford F-250, because he's got to take a lot of products with him, a lot of heavy items to go do these training classes, a lot of props, and he might be pulling a trailer every once in a while.
Doesn't want to be pulling over every 45 minutes to charge.
We want it to be a clean vehicle. So we bought the F-250 with the 7.3 Godzilla Ford engine. It's a big, big engine. It's going to have lots of power.
It's a beast.
And we're having it converted to propane in Denver. It's going to have an Alliance Autogas system on it. And this vehicle will be cleaner than the electric grid in all the states that he's going to travel in, except for Idaho, because they claim they use a lot of hydro, but they lie about it a little bit because they don't take into consideration all the dirty electricity that they import from Wyoming. But the rest of all the states, the electric grid is 10 times dirtier than that propane vehicle.
So you're saying that this Godzilla, this V8 beast, is going to be converted to propane, and it's going to be much cleaner than other EVs in its class.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be cleaner than any electric vehicle where he's going to be refueling propane, and if there's an electric vehicle charging next to him, the propane vehicle will be cleaner than that EV. All day long, especially when you talk about some of the amount of power that these engines have and what you would need to have that same kind of power. Are you talking about what's the big EV that weighs like 12,000 pounds? What do they call that thing? A Hummer?
Oh, the Hummer.
You got one of those,
well,
don't
yeah,
you?
No, I don't have a Hummer, but thanks for the offer. But those things, I mean, a Hummer EV just doesn't make sense at all on any level.
It's super heavy, but when you think about how they do the ratings on these cars and the cleanliness of the car and how many miles it goes. What do they compare those to? The dual motor, which is just like the single axle drive, and the really small lightweight vehicle,
go-karts
with the smallest battery. So they're like, oh, this is our cleanest EV that we got. But it's like a smart car. It's like something you wouldn't want you and your family in, or it's, you know, it's just too dangerous to drive around in a little tiny smart car if you get on the freeway. You've seen those little,
well, yeah,
those little tiny.
And just so you know, Google says the largest EV is the 2023 Rivian R1S.
There you go. But they compare their smallest vehicle emissions, or that's the one that they're promoting on this propane truck. We're talking about the biggest engine that we can get, and it is still going to be cleaner than even that smallest EV.
That's crazy.
So the whole point of this truck story is if you're a fleet and you're thinking about trying to clean up your emissions, and it's Earth Day, and you're wondering what the best move for your business is, there's plenty of Ford, Dodge, Chevy trucks out there that you can go buy today. I bought this thing in just one day. I was able to go get it. It was on the lot. You can get it converted. The kit's going to show up in about 3 weeks, and the guy in Denver that gets going to install it, this is an EPA certified conversion kit. He said he can do this in about 2 days, and it'll run on gasoline or propane, so you'll get double the extended range. So if you really want to go somewhere and you never want to stop and you know, worry about getting something, you know, stopping anywhere, you just drive on through. I've heard of different agencies using this if they're transporting something that they don't want to have at risk. So they'll use both fuels. But this thing's going to have clean propane on board, and it's going to be the cleanest vehicle on the road.
And that's so awesome. That is so awesome. All right, Tom, that wraps up this episode of the State of Energy, the Earth Day 2024 episode. We have to thank our friends at One Tank for supporting the show, one-tank.com. That's one-tank.com. Check them out. And we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.